I got here in 82, got off a bus with $1,200, a suitcase, and a drink. My agencies have always been gay. My manager's gay. They would just call me up and say, listen, feet on the ground, okay, for this one. Hand at your side. Voice in the lower register. Butch it up. I have to be very, very careful as I talk about American Horror Story. I've never been on a show where they're so protective.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Nightmare anti-gay laws passed in Nigeria and Uganda. A U.S. Supreme Court stay stymies Utah marriage equality. And we go backstage with Emmy-winning entertainer Leslie Jordan. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Pam Marshall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the 3 weeks ending January 4th, 2014. A so-called Jail the Gays bill in Nigeria and the infamous Kill the Gays bill in Uganda each await presidential signatures following parliamentary passage in late December. The legislation in Nigeria, called the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Bill, won final approval in the Senate on December 19th. But it goes far beyond barring lesbian or gay couples from marrying in Africa's most populous country. Harsh penalties for private, consensual, adult, same-gender sex there already range from up to 14 years in prison in the country's primarily Christian South to execution under Islamic law in the 12 northern states. Any lesbian or gay couple who marries would now be punished by up to 14 years in prison. Even wedding guests would be jailed for 10 years. The bill also outlaws organizations that support LGBTI rights, social or political gatherings for sexual minorities, which would include pride events, and public displays of same-gender affection. And anyone who provides services to a known gay or lesbian person could spend up to 5 years behind bars. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan has yet to sign the legislation. He can return it to Parliament with suggested changes or refer it to the National Human Rights Commission. He's under substantial political pressure at home to sign the measure, while several Western governments and Amnesty International and other human rights groups have urged him to reject it.
Ugandan lawmakers passed their anti-homosexuality bill a day later, on December 20th. The measure had languished in Parliament for the past few years. It's been notoriously known as the Kill the Gays bill because earlier versions included the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality. The current version apparently doesn't include execution, but specifies life in prison for those convictions. It also makes it illegal to promote homosexuality and jails anyone who fails to report homosexual activities to the police. Uganda's penal code already punishes attempted homosexuality with up to 7 years in prison and up to life behind bars for acts against the order of nature. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni is also caught between domestic political pressure to sign the bill and world opinion that almost universally condemns it. He has four options. He can sign the bill, making it law immediately. He can decline to sign it, in which case it also becomes law. He can veto it, or he can return it to Parliament with recommended changes. Museveni has said he doesn't want to rush into a decision and wants to analyze the measure and consult with the caucus of his National Resistance Movement, the country's leading political organization. At last report, no caucus meeting had been scheduled, but they can be called on short notice.
A gay World War II hero who was convicted under the since-repealed Gross Indecency Law in Britain, a law that was exported to many British colonies in the late 1800s, received a royal pardon from Queen Elizabeth II on December 24th. Mathematician Alan Turing, whose work presaged the modern computer, was instrumental in helping the Allied forces break the German Enigma code during the Second World War, which many say was the beginning of the end for Adolf Hitler. But in 1952, Turing was convicted of violating the 1885 Gross Indecency Law, the same law that sent Oscar Wilde to prison. Turing chose chemical castration to escape jail time, but was found dead, many believe by his own hand, 2 years later. Even as public opinion for the Turing pardon surged in 2013, the British government announced that posthumous pardons would not be given to the nearly 50,000 other men who were sentenced under that law. But following the Queen's pardon of Turing, an announcement from the UK Home Office explained that Turing had been pardoned because an application had been submitted on his behalf, and that the government has taken concrete action to allow those affected by this to apply for their convictions to be disregarded and would encourage anyone affected to apply.
Elsewhere, lawmakers in Cuba approved a bill in late December to amend the island nation's labor code to ban workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation. The measure was championed in Parliament by Deputy Mariela Castro, daughter of President Raul Castro, who also publicly supported it. Mariela said there would be further efforts to ban employment bias based on gender identity and HIV status, but the anti-bias workplace law is the first of any kind in Cuba to protect lesbians and gay men.
The heavily Mormon U.S. state of Utah was expected to be one of the last in the country to embrace marriage equality. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was, after all, one of the leading forces behind California's short-lived ban on marriage equality, Proposition 8. But U.S. District Judge Robert Shelby, a registered Republican, unexpectedly ruled on December 20th that Utah's ban on civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples, approved by 2 in 3 voters in 2004, violated those couples' constitutional rights. More than 900 same-gender couples have already been married there since the ruling. Judge Shelby, and then the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, each refused to issue a stay to stop those marriages while the state appeals the ruling. In a third effort, Utah officials have asked Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who handles emergency requests from that area of the country, to issue a stay. She can act by herself or get the rest of the high court involved. It's unclear when she'll issue a decision. To make matters worse for the state of Utah, its Attorney General, John Swallow, was forced to resign following allegations of impropriety. His newly installed replacement, Sean Reyes, is looking for outside assistance to help the state prepare its appeal of the ruling. Republican leaders back the move, which could cost Utah taxpayers up to $2 million.
Overshadowed by the surprising developments in Utah, the New Mexico Supreme Court ruled unanimously on December 19th that all rights, protections, and responsibilities that result from the marital relationship shall apply equally to both same-gender and opposite-gender married couples. After 8 of the state's 33 counties began handing out marriage licenses to lesbian and gay couples in August of 2013, New Mexico's County Clerks Association petitioned the High Court to issue a definitive statewide ruling. More than 1,400 same-gender couples have already been given civil marriage licenses in the Land of Enchantment since clerks began issuing them last August.
The Los Angeles Times editorial board noted in a year-ending column that recent court decisions to establish marriage equality fed the long-standing perception among conservatives that gay marriage has been pushed through by activist judges forcing their personal beliefs on an unwilling populace. In fact, the Times editors pointed out, most of the states where marriage is recognized got to this stage through votes, mainly by state legislatures, but in a few cases by the people themselves through ballot measures. According to the Times, of the 18 U.S. states with marriage equality as 2014 began, only 7 came through court decisions.
America's United Methodist Church put an early coal in the Christmas stocking of Reverend Frank Schaefer on December 19th by defrocking him. The Lebanon, Pennsylvania pastor was convicted in November 2013 of violating church law for officiating his son's marriage to another man almost 7 years ago in Massachusetts. His action had not come to the attention of the church hierarchy until last year, shortly before the statute of limitations on it ran out, when a member of Schaefer's congregation filed a complaint. Church officials suspended Schaefer from the ministry for 30 days and told him to resign at the end of the suspension if he could not follow the denomination's Book of Discipline, which bars ministers from performing marriage ceremonies for same-gender couples. But, believing himself to be part of a growing movement within the church, Schaefer refused, telling a mid-December press conference in Philadelphia that, "I cannot voluntarily surrender my credentials because I am a voice now for many, for tens of thousands of LGBT members in our church." And in late December, California United Methodist Bishop Minerva C. Carcano offered Schaefer a new job. Frank Schaefer chose to stand with Jesus as he extended loving care to his gay son and his partner, Carcano wrote in a statement. We should stand with him and others who show such courage and faithfulness. Schaefer said he is seriously considering the offer. I don't want to leave the church, he said. I would like to continue this fight against discrimination from within.
And finally, contrary to predictions by hand-wringing worriers, keen observers who looked up at the sky on January 1st could see that it had not fallen. It was the day that the new semi-inclusive policy of the Boy Scouts of America took effect, when the venerable youth organization, founded in 1910, began welcoming openly gay young people to its ranks. According to NBC News, about 70% of Scout troops are affiliated with churches, not all of them LGBT-friendly. But BSA spokesman Darren Smith said that fewer than 2% of the nation's 116,000 scouting units have been dropped by their sponsors since the new policy was approved last May. In most cases, those units have found other sponsors. Iowa Eagle Scout Zach Walls, the son of a lesbian couple, leads Scouts for Equality. He told NBC that the biggest result of this change is simply going to be people wondering what all the fuss is about. Watch for Walls and other activists to pressure the Scouts in the coming year to change its policy on openly gay adults who continue to be barred from serving as Scout leaders, troop members, or volunteers.
That's News Wrap for the 3 weeks ending January 4th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Pam Marshall.
In late-breaking news, the U.S. Supreme Court has temporarily blocked the ruling of a federal judge that had opened civil marriage to same-gender couples in Utah, pending the state's appeal. Filings in the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals are due by the end of February. For developments in other states, we turn to the year-ending YouTube-posted Marriage News Watch from Matt Baum of the LGBT legal advocacy group American Foundation for Equal Rights.
A judge in Illinois has ruled that all couples facing terminal illness can marry immediately. Previously, they would have had to wait until the start of marriage equality this June. And a judge in Ohio has ruled that the state must recognize out-of-state marriages on death certificates. That narrow ruling could lead to further litigation to completely undo the state's marriage ban. The ACLU has filed a new lawsuit in Oregon. This is the second federal suit in Oregon, and the ACLU will seek to have them combined. Organizers there will also attempt to overturn the state's marriage ban at the ballot box this November. Equality Florida is working on a lawsuit as well, though they haven't filed it yet. The group's goal is to bring marriage equality to the state by 2016. A suit in Nevada has been slightly delayed. The next briefing deadline in Sevcik v. Sandoval has been pushed back 1 month to January 20th. A judge in Arkansas has rejected a motion to dismiss a lawsuit there, so that suit will move ahead. And we have a hearing scheduled in Aver's case against Virginia's marriage ban. That's scheduled for January 30th.
That was Matt Baum of the LGBT legal advocacy group American Foundation for Equal Rights. Coming up later in the short and sweet category, a chat with entertainer Leslie Jordan. We also have a couple of rainbow minute-long looks at 2013, starting with some of the people who came out last year.
Coming out in 2013. Coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Taking the step forward in April, basketballer Jason Collins revealed he was gay in a Sports Illustrated cover story saying, I'm a 34-year-old NBA center. I'm black, and I'm gay. This made him the first professional athlete in a major American team sport to come out while still playing. American actor Wentworth Miller came out in August when he refused an invitation to a Russian film festival because he felt deeply troubled by the Russian government's treatment of its gay citizens. WWE wrestler Darren Young came out in an interview released on August 15th. This made Young the first wrestler ever to come out while still signed to a major promotion. American actress and singer Raven Simone Christina Perriman, better known as Raven Simone, came out in August on Twitter in a statement on marriage equality. She said, I was excited to hear today that more states legalized gay marriage. I, however, am not currently getting married, but it's great to know I can now, should I wish to. American hip-hop DJ icon and radio personality Mr. C came out in September and talked about his difficult decision to reveal his sexual orientation. And also in August, Bradley Manning, who provided diplomatic logs and war logs to WikiLeaks, came out as transgender, stating she had considered herself female since childhood. She has taken the name Chelsea Manning. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
And I'm Maria, and together we're Zrazy.
And we're crazy about This Way Out,
the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
Want the queerest dish in Hollywood about out TV writers like Sordid Lives' Del Shores and Glee and American Horror Story creator Ryan Murphy? Not to mention actors George Clooney, Luke Perry, Frances Conroy, and Jessica Lange. Correspondents Steve Pride, Abby Dees, and Chris Wilson know just who to ask.
Best-selling author, Emmy-winning actor, community treasure, Leslie Jordan won an Emmy playing Beverly Leslie on Will and Grace.
Betty White murdered him with a frying pan on Boston Legal and stored him in her freezer.
He was a straight newspaper editor in The Help. Now he's a gay warlock on American Horror Story, Coven.
I love that.
I have to be very, very careful as I talk about American Horror Story. I've never been on a show where they're so protective. You know, I can talk about the, you know, who I'm working with and the fun we're having, but we don't get scripts.
Ooh.
So it's like a puzzle to even us. You get these daily, what you say, and that's it. And I haven't gotten to meet Mr. Murphy, Ryan Murphy, you know, who wrote Glee. He has a dark side.
Apparently so.
Well, he started with Nip Tuck, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There was a little dark side
there. Dark side to that, too. But apparently there's, like, internet spies and all kinds of stuff, and you'll get a call from Mr. Murphy himself if you divulge. My new favorite actress, Frances Conroy, who is the mother on
Six Feet Under. She's wonderful.
Her and Jessica Lange and myself, they would go at each other, and I just ducked Emmys. You know, one would have a speech, and I'd think, whoa, that's going to win an Emmy. Pew! And then there would be this silence, and someone would yell, Leslie, that's your line. I'd go, I was just so enthralled with the two of them.
You've worked with some really amazing people. I mean, worked with George Clooney.
I had a series with George when he wasn't famous at all. At all. I would go to his house, and he had that enormous pig named Max, and he would entertain me. And I had a big crush on him, and he knew it. And he would run me, run me ragged doing his bidding. And, and there's not a gay bone in his body, trust me. People think, oh, well, you know, The Bachelor, what's going on here? But, you know, there are straight people.
You also were a neighbor of Luke Perry before he was famous.
Yeah, he was laying concrete and lived across the street from me. And I fed him 3 Thanksgivings in a row because he couldn't afford. He's from Fredericksburg, Ohio, and he couldn't afford to go home. And then he got famous faster than any human being. He was a complete unknown. And then you walked in the grocery store and he was on the cover of Vanity Fair, People, and every Tiger Beat magazine known to man. And one night he just disappeared into the night. Hmm. And his house was completely empty. And his assistant at the time was Amanda Anka.
Paul Anka's daughter.
Her dad wrote that song, Having My Baby. She was the baby. And she's now married to Jason Bateman. But anyway, she was Luke's assistant at the time. And so I saw her driving away. I stopped her. I said, where did Luke go? She goes, he just moved, you know. And I said, well, he's also disconnected his phone. And I need his telephone number. And she said, well, you know, honey, I'm not supposed to give it to anybody. I said, hello, I'm not like some stalker. I fed him Thanksgiving 3 years in a row.
That's gratitude.
There you go.
How long have you been out, like publicly out in the business?
I was, always in the business. I got here in 82, got off a bus, $1,200 sewn into my underpants, a suitcase and a dream, and didn't know anyone. And, You know, back then it was very wink, wink. It was, you know, my agencies have always been gay. My manager's gay. They would just call me up and say, listen, feet on the ground, okay, for this one? Feet on the ground, hand at your side, voice in the lower register, butch it up. Back then they had different words, like nebbish was a big one they would use. Mama's boy. Yeah. We're looking for like a mama's boy. We're looking for this. It was very...
Code.
Yeah, code. But I was never... I was at the bars every night. And you would see every, you know, casting director in town. You'd see big producers. But then we'd all go to work. And it was still very wink, wink, you know.
You know, what's interesting is that we've had a lot of people in here that I've seen out, lesbians with their girlfriend who are on like a big famous show. I've seen boys at gay parties, and they come into the studio, and the publicist will say, well, they're not professionally out.
Well, like, I don't know okay. what that means.
Before we run out of time, though, I've got to talk about Show Pony.
It's about the industry and how you have to keep everything afloat, but it's also, I will warn you, filthy. I tried it out on a cruise to the Caribbean, and it worked like a house on fire. The first time that I have walked on stage without a real agenda, I just talked. The basic idea of it is that I won this Emmy, and I thought, oh, well, I'm set, and nothing, nothing. I called my manager. I said, I can't eat this Emmy. What are we going to do? And I had to reinvent myself.
I think one of the reviewers said that the point Leslie Jordan aspires to clarify in Show Pony is that regardless of what level of fame and fortune you achieve, a true thoroughbred simply cannot afford to rest on his laurels. Is that true?
A guy named Greg Garcia, who writes My Name is Earl and Raising Hope, wrote a pilot for me. And he writes for White Trash. I mean, he adores me. And then all of a sudden, the network got a hold of it, CBS got a hold of it, and decided to pair me with the red-haired kid from Harry Potter. Oh, and I said, but he's not White Trash. And then they put me through this where they called and they said, you know what, we're going to have you test. I said, in other words, I'm going to audition for a series that was written for me. And I walked into this room with 50 men in suits. I knew everybody in the room. Les Moonves had created a show when I very first started 30 years ago. I mean, I knew everybody in the room.
You're such a philanthropist. I mean, I have been the president of several organizations, and we would always request for an appearance by the great Leslie Jordan. And Billy would say at one point, he finally said, you know how many he gets, and you know he does them all. So please ask Les.
Yeah, that's my Billy. Billy's my manager of over 30 years. He was my agent for many years, and the agency folded, and I was 50 at the time. They had made a whole lot of money. They had an unknown girl named Jenna Elfman. And all of a sudden, the agency actually sort of packaged Darman Gregg. And so Michael Schlesinger was the agency. He just made a fortune. So he moved to Laguna and bought a beach house.
And didn't Del write for Darman Gregg, Del Shores?
Del wrote for it. And also, you know who wrote Darman Gregg was Chuck Lorre. And, you know, he's got the Big Bang Theory,
everything.
And he always says to me, I remember that line I wrote for him, and I thought, I always want to say, well, why don't you write a new one for me? Like, it's been 20 years since I've worked for you. If you remember the line that you wrote for me back then.
One of the things that surprised me in your book that I didn't realize, because I knew you'd been friends with Del Shores for many, 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 many years, and you'd been in all the shows, but I didn't realize that you didn't know he was gay.
I didn't.
Before he came out, he was struggling with this, and you didn't pick up on your gaydar.
Well, I was best man at his wedding, and I'm godfather to his two daughters. And I don't know. He was listen, he came out of the closet. He, like, busted the hinges off the door.
But you knew him before.
Oh, yeah.
Before you worked with him.
But he was – I adore his wife, Kelly, and she took it really, really hard. And I was in the middle of all of it, and Kelly's parents are Rosemary Alexander and Newell Alexander, who have been in all – we're like this huge family. And he had this perfect – they were this blonde family because Dale's very blonde. His wife was blonde, those two little blonde girls. They were 4 and 6 at the time. But here's a very – my favorite story. They got houses near each other so the girls could ride their bikes back and forth. And he kept telling me, I don't want my daughters – this can't be mysterious. We're going to be very upfront, you know. They're 4 and 6. But we're driving down the road one day, and they wanted a hamburger from Carl's Jr. And Dale pulls the car over real fast. I got to talk to the girls. And they're chomping their gum. They're 4 and 6. Chomping their gum and twirling their hair and looking out the window. And Dale goes, "Now, girls, remember when I told you about Gay?" And they go, "Uh-huh." And he said, "Well, there was a television star named Ellen. And when she told everybody she was gay, Carl's Jr. pulled their advertising. So I don't think we should eat their hamburgers." And the 4-year-old's looking out the window. She goes, "Thank God it wasn't McDonald's." So during the whole divorce proceedings, when it would get so dark and so ugly, I would lean into him and say, "Thank God it wasn't McDonald's," just kind of lighten the mood a little.
Always lightening the mood, that was entertainer Leslie Jordan sharing some show pony tales with Steve Pride, Abby Deese, and Chris Wilson. For the latest dish from the diminutive actor, log on to theLeslieJordan.com.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
Have you checked our website lately? For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
We close out this week's show with a Rainbow Minute of Love for some of those we won't hear from again.
Remembering those who died in 2013, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. The LGBT community lost a number of lives in 2013. Here are just a few. 3-term New York City Mayor Ed Koch died February 1st. His legacy was clouded by his refusal to acknowledge he was gay and by charges by gay activists that he failed to adequately address the AIDS crisis. Famed pianist Van Cliburn died on February 27th, and over 1,500 people filled the Fort Worth Broadway Baptist Church for a 2-hour service to honor him. Boxer Emil Griffith died July 23rd in Hempstead, New York, at an extended care facility, the result of kidney failure and complications from dementia. Lastly, the LGBT community lost a pioneer when political activist and drag performer Jose Saria died on August 19th, 2013, at the age of 90. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Dustin Richardson.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Wenzel Jones, Pam Marshall, Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with Dustin Richardson and Steve Pride, Abby Deese and Chris Wilson contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out was funded this week by the Gay Chemists Support Fund of the Horizons Foundation and, as always, by listener supporters like you. Thank you. Check out the newest thank you gifts now available from our audio archives at thiswayout.org. That's where you'll also find mugshots of the crew, news wrap transcripts, now playing information, and links to our podcasts, blog, and Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WEFT Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, KXLU, Los Angeles, California, 4NSA, Noosa, Queensland, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.